it was a very, very proud and surprising moment when I found out that I had been selected as a winner. But I chose to take part because I knew that if the miracle happened that I would be selected as a winner, it would be promoting multilingualism. And at university, I've studied Spanish and Arabic. I myself am half English, half Italian, so even when I went to university, I thought to myself, my Italian was never fluent, but I could have picked the easy route. I could have just picked, like, let me carry on with a culture that I'm already very familiar with and perfect that.
Keep it European.
Keep it European, and maybe one day I will go back to Italian, but I really wanted to challenge myself. I'd already been learning Spanish since I was 13. A lot of people tried to persuade me not to study Arabic, because obviously they knew it would mean I would be involving myself in a volatile area of the world. But that didn't interest me, because I knew there was a lot more to the culture that we don't see in our very reductive...
And the sort of stereotypes and the conflict and the religious intolerance and all the rest of it.
Yeah, exactly. And even, I'm also an opera singer, so my influences have always had something to do with music and the culture of a place. It's not just the language of a country or what we hear about them geographically, historically. It's about the art, the music, the theatre, the culture that they're producing. And for me, the Middle East is just a jewel.
So what's been the most rewarding thing about actually learning the language, learning Arabic?
Being able to use it. For the first 2 years at university, I was there learning from a textbook, and that was great, but it wasn't being put into practice, which is why the year abroad in a languages degree is so essential. And I chose Beirut, Lebanon to live in for 8 months. I knew I could, to a certain extent, continue leading the lifestyle that I lead in the UK. While speaking Arabic, and I became a radio DJ in Lebanon because I love music and radio. And then I volunteered with Syrian refugees, and I wouldn't have been able to do that. I ran music and drama workshops with 9 to 11 year olds, and obviously they don't speak English.
How do we go about promoting multilingualism effectively? What do you think are the things that you've learned, you know, in your very intense time so far?
People don't realise how useful it is. And in the UK, we have a language learning crisis. Fewer and fewer people each year seem to want to take it at A level. A lot of people are dissuaded by the difficulty of a language like Arabic. I'm sure the same goes for Chinese and Russian learners. But, I mean, I learned the Arabic alphabet in 2 weeks. We need more ambassadors that are willing to go out there and really promote languages that a lot of people think hard and... more importantly, they think the culture is exclusive to the people of that culture. And it really isn't. I fell in love with the Arab world, and not in the orientalist way that people, a lot of people like to talk about. You know, you really have to get in the thick of it and live. You live like a Beiruti, basically, in Beirut. There's no point going there and wanting to be a tourist the whole 8 months. You have to get down in the thick of it. And that's what we need people promoting.
And as a committed internationalist, I mean, how do you feel about Britain's retreat from Europe and about the Brexit vote?
Miserable. And I read an article last week that said that the Erasmus funding and the whole Erasmus programme is going to be put at risk.
I mean, just explain what that is.
It basically facilitates year abroads for students in the UK and the rest of Europe to visit each other's countries. You get an Erasmus grant, which for some people is the only way they can have a year abroad.
I mean, as you've seen, you know, the conflict and the turmoil in the Middle East worsen in the last few years. I mean, has that given you sort of pause for thought, given you any second thoughts about whether you do want to commit yourself and your future to this region and this extraordinary language of Arabic?
I'm starting a master's in broadcast journalism, and my ambition is to become...
So you want to be on the front line?
I want to be on the front line, and that's how I want to use my Arabic. If not on the front line, at least talking to the people that unfortunately are there 24/7 because it's their life, and being able to get the story from them without having to go through a fixer or a translator. When I went to Lebanon, I had my first opportunity of becoming a radio host. The ability to lift the words that I said off a page. And I just see journalism as a kind of channel.
A powerful responsibility to get it right, to get the story right.
Yeah, but you are... It's editorial, and it's also just having an eye out all the time. But I think the role of a journalist is to channel things that you find interesting because you... There's something special about you. For me, hopefully, it'll be the fact that I speak Arabic. I will get to see things that the ordinary, I don't know, BBC Radio 4 listener doesn't see on the day-to-day, and I'll be able to translate it to them, not only in English, obviously, but creatively, and make a story, a good story.
And with your love of the culture and your fluency in Arabic, I guess you'll have a big advantage just in terms of your insights that an awful lot of journalists simply don't have who are covering the region today.
Yeah, and I do have to say I have Durham University to thank for that. because the degree is Modern Languages and Cultures, and both Spanish and Arabic department is not just about learning the language. There is such a commitment there to educate us on the literature and culture. It's not just reading an old tome. It was also about listening to music videos that are coming out, and pop culture should never be dismissed.
So I mean, here you are at UN headquarters. I mean, does the United Nations feel a bit remote to your generation, do you think? And do you think it's doing enough to sort of promote itself and its values?
The minute I won the competition, that's when I started to see everything open up. Before that, I had not been exposed to the UN. I don't know if that's to do with British universities' relationship with the UN. I don't know if how many of them are actually talking about it. When I told people I was going to the UN to discuss the Sustainable Development Goals, the people who knew them, oh yeah, they were 17, and I thought, oh, how do you know that? Because I didn't know that before this competition.
So there's still work to be done just in terms of translating and making the UN's values accessible, I guess.
Yeah, because if today made one thing clear, it's that these 17 Sustainable Development Goals affect all our lives. And it's not that they're going to affect our children or maybe our children's children. They will literally affect my life probably over the next 5 to 10 years and all of our lives, wherever we are in the world. So we definitely should know a lot more about them.